We're going to turn to God's Word now, and we're turning to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and beginning at verse 10. So it's that found on your pew Bibles in page 1161. I was very worried this morning when Alistair started into 2 Corinthians 4. I thought he was going to steal what I had to say tonight, so very thankful that he didn't. But we're just continuing on basically from what Alistair read this morning, if you were here, on the treasure in jars of clay. We move on in this part, in verse 10 to verse 21 of chapter 5, page 1161. Let's read God's Word. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due to him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. Since then, we know what it is to fear the Lord. We try to persuade men. What we are is plain to God, and I hope it is also plain to your conscience. We are not trying to commend ourselves to you again, but are giving you an opportunity to take pride in us, so that you can answer those who take pride in what is seen rather than what is in the heart. If we are out of our mind, it is for the sake of God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting man's sins against them, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Amen. This is the word of God. Let us turn to God in prayer just before we read this word. Father God, we pray that as we turn to your word, it would speak into our hearts. Help us through your Holy Spirit to be illuminated, to have our minds and hearts opened and shaped by it. And Lord, we pray that the words that are brought forth this evening would be of upbuilding and benefit to each one of us as we gather before your throne. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So we come to a new year. And as Alistair pointed to quite clearly this morning, quite often at New Year's Eve or Old Year's Night, I believe. I'm too young to know that expression, so anybody slightly older might remember it. But Old Year's Night, New Year's Eve, a time when most of us are encouraged at the very, very least to reflect a little bit on our life. And as Alistair pointed to this morning, we can think about what's going to be in 2018. That's part of it. We want to look forward and see what could potentially happen, how things could be changed. But all of that's done in the light of reflecting on the past year. For many of us, we're encouraged to make maybe resolutions, how we will be different in 2018 compared to 2017. Or whether it's the plethora of books or adverts that you'll find over the next few days and weeks and months that encourage you to either redecorate your house and have a new life, or to get a new diet, or to go to the gym more, or whatever it may be. We're encouraged from the moment that clock strikes 12 tonight to make 2018 different, better, special, And more importantly, to be different ourselves. I mean, I walked into Waterstone the other day, and they had this sort of stand that said this motto, New Year, New You. And certainly that has become pretty much a phrase, a catchphrase, certainly for companies coming into the new year. They want to encourage us that 2017, good though it may have been, or bad, it's gone and you have to make a new start, turn over a new leaf, do something new, be new, buy something, probably. All of it is about a new year and a new you. But of course, as Christians, we don't get caught up in that sort of stuff. Well, actually, truth be told, we maybe don't get caught up in Joe Wick's new book about healthy eating. We might, I'm not sure. We maybe don't get caught up in some of those things, but certainly, on reflecting back in 2017, we do. We do. As Christians, we do. But maybe we ask slightly more profound questions of ourselves. Maybe the questions that we ask of ourselves are not, did I eat healthily enough? But maybe it's something along the lines of, how often did I pray? Was I really the Christian I set out to be at the start of 2017? Did I take the advantages in my workplace to share my faith? Was I a godly parent or grandparent? Maybe some of those are the questions we ask ourselves tonight as we stride into 2018. And so as I was thinking about this, I thought, where on earth could I go in the Bible to point at how we should reflect upon ourselves? And so the reason I go to it, we're looking at 2 Corinthians 5 tonight, is because this letter of Paul to a church that he loved, is actually one of the most reflective letters of the whole Bible. Paul, in this letter, is writing to respond to attacks that he's been getting in other churches, or in the church of Corinth, from other people. From what he calls, in chapter 11, the super apostles. People have been saying, Paul, this Paul guy, look, he didn't speak well. He didn't do amazing acts and wonderful things. The whole thing he said and his ministry, you know, is rubbish. He came before we're the new. We're the better. And so Paul writes this letter in response. And as he does, he looks back at his own ministry, trying to point these people to how the gospel that he brought, the ministry that he had, was truly the gospel from God. And so tonight, as we look back on a 2017, I'm sure with a mixture of emotions, as we examine some of the things as Christians in our life over the past year, I want to encourage you by looking at this very self-examining letter to show you, hopefully tonight, who is our real judge, who we are in Christ, and how that should make a difference come 2018 or 12 o'clock. So let's turn to God's Word. The first thing we see in these chapters, or these verses of chapter 5, is who our real judge is. Look at verses 10 to 12 there. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or bad. Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade others. But what we are is known to God, and I hope is known also to your conscience. We're not commending ourselves to you, but giving you cause to boast about us, so that you may be able to answer those who boast only about outward appearance and not about what is the heart in the heart. What Paul says here is, look, all of us, you Corinthians, me, the super apostles, every single person at some point comes before God. At some point, their actions, their life, what they have done in the body, the church body, or in their physical bodies, will be brought before the Lord. We all have to stand before the Lord. And that sounds very evident. It sounds very obvious, doesn't it? And for those of us who are Christians, we say, yes, of course. We will come and stand before the Lord. But how does that shape how we reflect on 2017? Well, we stand before God with our 2017 wide open. Scary thought, isn't it? Paul's point that he goes on to make as he continues on in verses 10 to 12. He continues to say that basically, look, these other apostles have been caught up in judging themselves, in judging their ministries, their life, by either their great acts, their wondrous outward acts, or their eloquence, or whatever they're doing. But notice something. I'm not commending myself to you, or my ministry to you, so that you can boast or I can boast, but rather to show you that what is important is not what's on the outside, but what's on the inside. Paul, in essence, is saying, look, we will all stand before God, whether it's a super apostle or it's myself. We will stand before God as our judge, and he will not look at the nice little outward appearance we want to give, but he looks at the heart. Mirroring what God said to Samuel, if you remember back into the Old Testament when Samuel had the lineup of Jesse's sons, he was going to pick one of these sons, and he went through them from the tallest and the oldest and the best until he got this little shepherd boy, David. God told him what? Man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. And so what Paul wants us to see, wants the Corinthians to see, and in fact, I believe God wants us here tonight to see, is this. That as we analyze our 2017, as we judge it, as we say, what was it like? What should I do in 2018? It's not going to be Joe Wicks and his diet plan that defines what your life was like. It's not even going to be the next book you read on what is the greatest Christian you can be. It's not even your nearest and dearest. It's God who judges our year. It's God who sees what we were really like in those hidden corners that others didn't see. It's God that looks past the outward appearance and into the heart. And so in one way, we can say, yeah, I don't need to catch up and be caught up in this world that says, new year, new you. I don't need to just turn over a new leaf and make new resolutions. I don't need to try like the rest of the world does. As Christians, we don't have to because they don't judge us. God does. And so there's a joyous note to that. But there's also something terrifying to that too. I would love to stand here before you tonight and say, look, my 2017 was brilliant. You know, prayed umpteen million times, did all the things I planned to. God was super pleased with me. But I'd be lying if I said that. I'd be lying if I painted that picture of perfection. And truth be told, if we all let ourselves examine ourselves, we like to paint a good picture of ourselves, don't we? I mean, we'll give ourselves a 6 out of 10, maybe because we're humble enough to accept that we weren't 10 out of 10 last year. But we paint a good picture. If we were asked how our 2017 was, even as good Christian Ulster folk, we may say, you know, I wasn't perfect, but God would be pleased. I'm going to ask you a question. You don't have to give me an answer, don't worry. How many of you last year loved your spouse or your parents or your family more than you loved God? I did. I probably loved my daughter more than I loved God at times. And I don't say it with pride, don't get me wrong. But Jesus asked, if you want to be his disciple, you can't love any of them more than you love him. In fact, I'm toning down Jesus' words from Luke 14:26, where he said, if you want to follow him, you have to hate them. And so if we're honest, really being honest tonight, and we look back at our 2017, truth be told, we probably let God down more than we can even imagine. Even if we give ourselves a relatively dodgy self-assessment, brothers and sisters in Christ, we have to be honest and say that God's assessment, God's judgment of how much we loved him, how much we gave for him, how much we served him in 2017 would probably be pretty stark and pretty scary. And so Paul wants these Corinthians to be clear that their assessments of themselves, super apostles' assessments of who they are, and our assessment of our 2017 is not enough. It's probably too good. Because the true judge is not us, not the world, but God. Colin Cruz in his commentary notes this: Paul is not afraid of the Lord, but he does have a reverential awe of him and recognizes that his whole life and ministry will come under God's scrutiny. So I want to be clear tonight. As you look back on 2017, the only person that can truly judge it is the Lord. And if you're being honest, it probably did not live up to the standard he would want for you. And so, should we, folks, as we stand on the cusp of a new year, stand there with pride? No, we shouldn't. But we should realize that God will judge our 2017. Now, before you get depressed, I'm not here to depress you on a New Year's Eve. There's more to this. Look at what Paul has to say of who we really are in verses 13 to 17. It says this: for if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. If we are in a right mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ controls us, because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him, who for their sake died and was raised. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh. We regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, behold, the new has come. Paul points in that very famous verse, that last verse of verse 17, points us to the reality of who we are. That if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, behold, the new has come. And so I want to be very clear with you tonight, brother and sister in Christ. If we are to judge our 2017 by what we have done for God, we're going to come short. Even as Christians, even filled with the Holy Spirit, there will be times we missed. There will be times we didn't do what we should have done. There will be times that if we starkly analyzed our 2017, we would leave here with woe. Yet what God declares through Paul is this: that if you're a Christian tonight, that if you have been united with Christ, you are a new creation. So you don't stand on the cusp of 2018, looking back and saying, look, if only I'd prayed more, if only I had spent more time doing this, if only I had been a better Christian, God would love me more. But rather, as we stand on the cusp of 2018, the Word of God reminds us of this, that Christ will judge us, yes, but he will judge us looking to us as what? A new creation. So we stand, unlike the world, who says, look, make a resolution, turn over a new leaf, new year, new you. We stand, and I want to stand and declare this, brother and sister in Christ. New year, new you, no need. You're already new. From the day and hour, whether it was 20, 30 years ago, that you gave your life to the Lord, you were made into a new creation. Flawed this side of eternity, yes. But new. United with Christ. Made new, made different. Given a heart that desires to walk with God, that probably makes you feel guiltier when you examine your 2017 and how you let God down, than someone who didn't give two hits. In fact, I have a friend, an older man in the ministry, who says, as he has continued on his life of faith, the older he gets, the more his understanding of his sin grows. He used to think he wasn't that bad. He did a few wrong things, but he wasn't that bad. But the older he gets, and the more he knows about who God is and how holy he is, the more he realizes how every day, in every way, he lets God down more and more and more and more. He understands how truly pitiable and wretched he really, really, really is. How much he has let God down. But despite all that, he knows one thing. That when he was a young Christian, he thought he wasn't too bad. And he thought of God as kind of holy. And the divide between them was just this small thing called Jesus' death on the cross. As he's got older and realized how wretched he really is, and how holy God really is, you know what he's seen? To that cross that Jesus hung on was much, much bigger and much, much greater, and he depends on it more and more and more and more. And so what I want to tell you tonight, brother and sister in Christ, is yes, you are a new creation. Christ died for you to make you that. Yes, you've let God down more than you can even imagine in 2017. But because you are in Christ, you have hope. Because of what Christ did, you can stride into 2018 seeing not a tiny little cross because you weren't that bad, but getting a picture of what Jesus did that was so, so phenomenal. And so Paul points himself and the Corinthians to Jesus. If you look at the latter verses from 17 or 18, sorry, on to the end, what a declaration of the gospel. What an amazing statement. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation that is in Christ. God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and trusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. And so what's the point You might be standing, sitting there thinking, okay, Jonathan, great. We had a bad 2017. We weren't as good as we thought we were. Yes, we're new creations, but what's the point? The point's very simple, folks. As we stand on the cusp of 2018, it can be very tempting in a church or as a Christian to either think of ourselves as better than we are or infinitely worse. We can look back and think, if only I prayed and worshipped and did more things, God would be happier with me. Or we can stand pompously saying, look at me. I'm a Christian, not like them. Look at me, I'm a new creation, not like them. And we can say, let's be comfortable in our churches and leave the world to themselves. And what Paul points us to, and what I believe God points us to, is this. That the simple message that Alistair talked about in chapter 4, that message, that treasure in jars of clay that we have, is not a message to the world that says, we're better than you. Nor does it say, we're so far gone that we can't be reconciled. But the message of the gospel, the message of Christ Jesus, is this. You were wretched, you were broken, you were so far gone, you deserved nothing but a horrendous judgment, and yet he who was no sin became sin for us. It's simply this, brother and sister in Christ. We don't go into the world saying to them, look, try really hard and become a new you. New year, new you, try something different, come to church. It has been used and it has been said in churches around this country that should be your New Year's resolution. Try to come to church. Coming to church is good. But the message that we send is not turn over a new leaf. Pray a bit more. Do a few more things. It's this. You needed reconciled by Jesus just as I did. You, O world, think you need Joe Wicks. Think you need that Instagram perfect family. Think you need more exercise regimes. Think you need a better diet. Think you need more money, more fame, more power. But what you need is Jesus. What you need is Jesus. And why do we know it? Because we need him too. Because we are ambassadors for Christ, not because we're perfect. Not because we're special. Not because we are the new creation. But we were made new through him. He reconciled us first. And that's why 2018 can be a year where you go in to people's houses and lives, the people you rub shoulders with, and you say, look, I'm not going to pretend like I am something special. I'm no super apostle. But I know the person who is special. I know the person who I needed. I know the person who you need. And his name is Jesus. Because I'm broken. And the only one who can fix me and the only one who can fix you is the one who came to become my sin and your sin. To die in your place and my place. To reconcile me and to reconcile you. And so, if there's anything I can leave you with in 2018, it is this. Just as Alistair pointed to this morning, he pointed to how that mustard seed can grow into that great mustard tree. How our lives, in essence, by going through trials and struggles and difficulties, can demonstrate the kingdom of God to many people. If you want to do that, brother and sister in Christ, in 2018, it's by pointing to the one who reconciled you. Let us not be a people who think we're either so far gone there is no hope, or that we are in some way this high and mighty new creation. Because we needed reconciling as much as that world needs. As much as the people you rub shoulders with in your workplace, in your families, as much as even the most down and out in this society needs Christ. We needed him just as much, if not more. And so, new year, new you. Well, no, brother and sister in Christ. You are already new. But maybe you need that renewed focus to see in 2018 that there is a dying world of people who care more about what a celebrity has to say about their dinner than about the Jesus that died to reconcile them. Should we not be broken for that? Should we not be willing, as ambassadors of Christ, to declare that with our lives, that we as the reconciled one want to point people to that great reconciler, Jesus Christ? Let's turn to him in prayer.